Morning, Dennis.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing well. Please join me in saying the Anavakoa. Anavakoa. Gedulat shemincha. Gimel Yutat Zadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sadrenu Taharenu No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Daled, Yud Kaf Shin. The sequence Yud Kaf Shin we will utilize to take any body part that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it will be healed, where it will be cleansed, where it will be rejuvenated, and then returning it back into the body in its regular state, in its pristine state, having been cleansed and having been rejuvenated. Bachem tacharem rakame sitatam. Seeing
Avham Leah,
Leah El Yishtazev Begin Beno Dehaki Tanya Biramizake Avamru Ha Yishmael Denafik Mineya Amar Kuchabarihu Ha Yitzhak the Yoshi Kedalea Al Gabe Madbecha Amru Ha Esav Denafik Mineya Amar Ha Yato Dihu Kursiya Shalemata Lekol Benohi Shalemin Kamai Amru Havadai Bisuta Da Yishtaziv Avraham Hahidiktiv Asher Pada Et Avraham. We have already learned that Jacob surely redeemed Abraham. At the time that Abraham fell into the furnace of the Chaldeans' fire, his fate was being decided before the Holy One, blessed be he. In what merit should this one be saved, as he lacks ancestral merits? The Holy One, blessed be he, said to the court on high, he should be saved because of his son. As we have learned, a son can bring merits for his father. The others replied that Ishmael will descend from him. The Holy One, blessed be he, replied, but Isaac will descend from him, who will extend his throat for the sacrifice on the altar. The others said, but Esau will derive from Isaac. The Holy One, blessed be he, said, but Jacob will descend from him, who is a whole throne. And all his sons are perfect before me. They concurred by saying, surely for this merit, Abraham shall be rescued. Such is the meaning of who redeemed Abraham. I am adding, this pasuk is clear that Abraham was saved from the fire due to Jacob descending from him as a grandson. Yet nothing is said as to why the verse mentions both people. Of course, it mentions both Jacob and Abraham, with Jacob being mentioned first, indicating the idea of Abraham as being saved in the merit of Jacob. Does anybody have any questions? If you go to the handout, which is available on the Hebrew Olivet class handout, and that is available at row 7 of the second column from the left on the Revealed Wisdom page. And if you then scroll down from the on that Aleph-Bet page, to class number 7, there is 2 handouts there, but we're going to look at one in particular, which is titled The Energy Sounds of the Hebrew Letters, Class 7 Handout. If you click on that, you'll open up to a PDF file that shows you the alphabets in order. But there's many more rows of alphabets, and they start in different orders. The second one starts with the second letter. The third one with the third letter, Gimel. The fourth one with Dalet. This handout is for our Sefer Yetzirah class, but it's also very much will be helpful for you to practice in the same way. So we're going to read this, and I'm going to explain this and give you the sounds. Yes.
This is Jenny. Would you mind giving the directions to that handout again?
If you go to the Revealed Wisdom page, scroll down, count down seven rows, the second column from the left on the matrix.
Yeah.
And then open that link, and then scroll down to class number 7. And you'll see three links underneath class 7 as handouts. The middle one, let me go back and read what it says so we're accurate.
Mm-hmm.
The middle one is Energy Sounds of the Hebrew Letters Class 7 Handout. When you open that up, you'll have a PDF file. It is titled SY1-ALEF-BET.PDF. And you'll see on that a number of rows. I believe there's 22. The first row starts with the first letter of the alphabet. The second row with the second letter, and so forth. And I'm going to take just the first row for the time being. And I'm going to walk through and give you names and give you sounds and have discussions about the letters, but very brief discussions. So if you start with the first row, starting from the right going to the left, the first letter has a diagonal bar and then a line going up from the right side and a line going down from the left side. That letter is called an aleph, A-L-E-F. Some people spell it A-L-E-P-H. The sound of that letter is with different vowels, it will have different sounds. The sound of that letter, as taught in America, is that the letter has no sound. It is silent. But that's very false. The letter of the Aleph, the sound of the Aleph, is the sound that the intake of your breathing makes. When you breathe in, you make a sound. That's the sound of the aleph. You must breathe in before you can breathe out. When you breathe out, you can make any one of the other sounds of the letters. But you first must start by breathing in. That is the sound of the aleph. With the vowel that's there, the little t, it's called but that sound is really the sound of the vowel that is underneath the letter. The actual sound of the letter, and you need to listen closely, is when I am taking a breath by breathing in. I hope you can hear that on the recording. I'll do it again.
Yes.
The letter to the left of that letter is called a bet. It has two dots underneath it. That's the vowel. The letter bet has the sound bay. The letter bet has the meaning in Hebrew. Its name is Bet, but a Bet is a house. The third letter has one dot underneath it. The sound of this letter, Gee. Now I'm going to confuse you a little bit. I'm going to go back to the second letter and tell you this letter actually has two sounds. Sometimes it's bay, and sometimes it's way, sometimes with a B sound and sometimes with a V sound. How do you know which sound to make? That's something that you'll learn from the vowels and from the readings. But when you practice the various sounds, know that the second letter and also the third letter have two sounds. The third letter, the sound is E, and G. One is QI and one is GI. The fourth letter is Da. The name of the letter is Dalit. The Dalit has two meanings besides the letter. It can be poor, but it can also be a doorway. Poor as in lacking resources. Poor as in being unfulfilled. But it's also a doorway, as in the name Yehuda, where you have to open a door between the physical worlds to connect to the spiritual worlds. The fifth letter, Hey. The sixth letter is a Vav, is the name of the letter. And the Ashkenazim pronounce it as a V sound. But the Sephardic pronunciation, and the way that we recommend that you pronounce it, is with a W sound. The seventh letter is a Zion. Zion, you may have heard the name Zion referred to Jerusalem. Zion is the spiritual level of Jerusalem. The sound, Za, the eighth letter, is called a Chet. Its pronunciation is guttural, C-H. The ninth letter is a tet. The tenth letter is the smallest letter. It's a yud. When the scribes are making a Torah scroll, or a mezuzah scroll, or a tefillin scroll, every letter that they write starts with the yud. Every one of these other letters, you can look for the yud that is the letter, within the letter. The pronunciation of the yud is yo. The 11th letter is called a kaf. The meaning of the word kaf is palm or hand. The kaf has two sounds. One is guttural and the other is non-guttural. Ka. Ka. I hope you can hear the difference. The 12th letter is a lamed. The lamed is the only letter that goes above the line. Now, what this means is in the Torah scroll, there are 42 embossed lines, scribed lines, that the scribe puts on the parchment to guide his hand. He makes 42 lines. You should know as a student of Kabbalah why it's 42.
Mm-hmm.
There is one letter that goes below the line, and there is another letter that goes above the line. The Lamed is the letter that goes above the line. It connects to the spiritual level above the physical. The Lamed is a Hebrew word that means teacher or teaching. Its pronunciation, la, the 13th letter is the mem. This is the middle of the Hebrew alphabet. Now somebody's going to say to me, how can it be the middle of the alphabet if there are 22 letters and it's the 13th? The mem doesn't make sense to be called the middle. The sound of the mem is mem. Why is it considered the middle at the number 13? Because when you add the five final shapes, which are not on this paper, you find there are 27 shapes in making the alphabet. So 13th is actually the middle. The next letter, the 14th letter, is called a nun. The nun starts the word nafel, nafalim. Nafal means falling. The nun is pronounced nun. The 15th letter is the samach. Samach means to support. It has an S sound. Sa. The 16th letter is the ayin. And we are taught in America that the ayin has no sound, just like the aleph. And just like the hey, when it's at the end of the word, is not pronounced. The ayin has no sound. But again, it's not quite true. It's a difficult sound to make, because it's at the back of the throat. But most people pronounce it just like they pronounce the aleph. But the ayin, which means the eye, the word ayin means eye, is pronounced The 17th letter is the letter pe. The pe means mouth. 17 means good. When your mouth is reading Torah, it is being good. Inside the letter pay, there is a bet for the blessings that come out of your mouth when you're reading Torah. Pay. But the pay is a double letter. It has two sounds. The B sound and the F sound. If you were spelling the name Philip, P-H-I-L-L-I-P, you'd spell it with a pay, but pronounce it fay. The 18th letter is the tzaddi. The tzaddi means the righteous person, the tzaddik. The 18th letter refers to life, as the word chai in Hebrew means life, has a gematria of 18. The 19th letter is the kuf. The kuf means monkey in Hebrew. The kuf is the letter that goes below the line. The next three letters make up the seven double-sounding letters. I've given you four of them. The bet, the gimel, the kaf, and the pei. Now there are three at the end of the aleph bet. The resh, which can mean the head, rosh, or poor, lacking, as in resh. The letter resh is pronounced rain, but it's a double letter. What's the other sound? The closest we have to the double sound of the letter resh is in Spanish, when you pronounce the R sound as a rolling sound. Raish, raish, but as close as you get to that, even if you speak Spanish as your first language, it's not quite accurate. We have lost the correct sound over the centuries. We do the best we can. The 21st letter is the shin. It's also a double letter, but not really. It's a mother letter. It's the head of the left column. It has two sounds. She. And then there's the C. The Taf is the last letter of the Aleph Bet. It's a double letter. You all know the sound from the common pronunciation in America of Shabbos, which the last letter is the Taf. Shabbat is pronounced Shabbos by the Ashkenazim. But in the Sephardim and in the Hebrew language as spoken today in the modern state of Israel, it's Shabbat. Is the S sound correct for the Taf? The answer is no. It is a double letter. It is a double sound. But it isn't the S sound. Ta. Ta. Did you hear a difference? One is a T sound and one is a TH sound. As you can tell, these sounds are hard for Americans to say. I don't say them correctly, but I'm going to do the best I can as we teach this. I'm going to say this T top row in order, first with one pronunciation, and then secondly, I'm going to do the whole 22 letters over with the other pronunciation. And hopefully I won't make a mistake, because it's confusing. I'm now going to do the alphabet one more time with the different sounds of the double letters. Any questions? If you want to practice, and as soon as possible, I will put this recording online in the same location, the first link that we just, well, we pushed the second link and got the PDF file. If you push the first link, you'll have the recording. And you can hear the sound again, the various sounds. And you can begin your practice of sound. Learning how to see the different shapes. It's part of the development of your own personal connection to the Hebrew letters. And understanding these letters, we're only on the 8th class actually the 9th or 10th class of these Hebrew letters. We're going to discuss each letter individually, but we have much more development to prepare you to discuss the letters. So are there any questions before I give you some additional information? As you look down this page, you'll see that the letters, the same 22 letters, are there on the page. But they start by being offset one letter. The second line starts with the bet and not the aleph. But if you look at the end of the line, the aleph appears. Practicing by putting the letters in their proper order brings you to a merciful state of mind, brings you to a frame of mercy, a connection to chesed, the sefirah of chesed. As you do these line by line, practice line by line, line by line, you continue to make the connection to different levels of mercy. You also, it's highly recommended that you do each line in reverse. So it would be starting on left to right. Ta, she, re, ko, sa, pe, a, sa, nu, me. Yo, hey, hey, za, wa, hey, da, gi, be, when you do it in reverse order, you're doing it connecting to the Sefirah of Geburah, which is where power comes from. Judgment also, but it's your consciousness relates to power. The letters get their power from your consciousness. It's recommended that you practice this until you are able to do this more rapidly. Ave gida he waza he teo kalame nusa a peta pore shita tashi re kota pe asa nu me la ka yote he za wa he da gibe a. When you can do all 22 lines in a more rapid manner than that, you can stop practicing. Why do I want you to practice like that? It's up to you. But the letters are utilized, they're tools for us. When we learn to meditate using the sounds in the proper way, we will have meditative experiences of Hashem that cannot be described verbally, but will be significantly effective in your life and creating balance and removing chaos from your life. That's why I suggest that you practice. Are there any questions? The third handout on that link The first one is the recording that I will put up there as soon as it's ready. The second one is this PDF page that you've been looking at. And the third one, we will be working with for a few weeks. It's the Hebrew letter Midrash. It's from the Zohar directly. It's from the prologue of the Zohar, but it's also used in other locations within the Zohar. I'm just going to read this first verse from the sixth section of the Sulam, Pasuk 22 of the prologue. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh adenu kunenei aleinu ma'aseh adenu kunenehu. Bereshit rav ha'menuna sava amar ashkechan atvan v'hipuka beit v'kadneita uvatar bet chaynu bereshit bara levatar aleph v'kadneita uvatar aleph haynu Elohim at Elakad ba'kadosh baruch hu lemebad alma kol advan hawo setimin utrein alfin shenim adila bira alma hawa mastach lao Kadosh Baruch Hu Ve'esh Tashkah Ve'ho Bereshit, Rav Hamuna Saba said that we have found in the words, in the beginning Elohim created the. The Hebrew words are Bereshit Bara Elohim, the first verse in the Torah. That the order of the letters in this phrase is arranged in reverse. First, the Hebrew letter bet is immediately followed by another bet, that is Bereshit Bara. Subsequently, it is written first with an aleph, and then another aleph, referring in Hebrew to Elohim. And he explains that when the Holy One, blessed be He, was about to create the world, all of the letters were still hidden. For 2,000 years before the creation of the world, the Holy One, blessed be He, watched the letters and amused Himself with them. My commentary. Did you ask the question, what does time look like before creation? There is no sun, so what is a year? What does the number 2,000 mean? What does it mean that the Holy One, blessed be He, watched the letters and amused Himself with them? Do you think that this implies that all this pain and suffering that occurs in this world is for the Creator's amusement? Chas v'shalom. It is time that you stop yourself from being spoon-fed what you read. Start looking at what you read critically, with judgment, with discernment. Have you ever watched a sporting event after it was televised and happened, such that you already know the outcome? Was that amusement? What if the Creator changed the aspects of the letter during this period of amusement? He knew what His changes would do, but the letters did not. It was meaningful to them and enjoyable to see what they would try, even though He knew the outcome. Did He also know the full process? What would the letters do with each other? Did the letters create worlds that contended with each other for the whole? Is that the nature of each letter? Or is that a human being's worldview that he applies to everything in his universe? I will leave you to your own conjecture and meditation to arrive at these answers. Feel free to send me your answers by email. If you want to continue the discussions with me, I'm open. Look at the Zohar, not in a literal sense, in a metaphorical sense. Look at the Zohar, and what is it really telling you? Are there any questions? Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we will be teaching another class. I believe it's our 48th or 47th class in the Advanced Reincarnation. Wednesday at 6:30, we're going to be teaching about tithing and tzedakah, truma and tzedakah. How does it save you from death? Why does it save you from death? And what is its true meaning? It's our basic class number 10 or number 9. Thursday, normally at 7 o'clock is a Zohar class. But this Thursday, we're going to be continuing our preparation for the Seder at 7 o'clock Thursday. Class number 7 in the 12 classes of preparation for the Seder and for Shavuot and the Omer. Saturday evening, we will have a Zohar class having to do with Passover, having to do with Shabbat, Chol HaMoed Passover. Sunday morning, we will have a continuation, class number 8 and possibly 9, in preparing for the Seder and preparing for the Omer. A lot of material this week. Next Monday will not be a class because it's the first Seder. Next Tuesday will not be a class because it's the second Seder. Next Wednesday, a week from this coming Wednesday, there will be a class beginning to the two classes of our calendar, unless the people here decide they don't want to have it, in which case we'll do it the following week. Following week is a holiday known as the seventh day of Passover. Most people don't know that what that really is the parting of the Yam Suf, the Sea of Limitations. Physically, we are able to make that connection to that energy. Each and every year, we'll be discussing it as part of our process. Any other questions? Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Thanks. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Good night.